Loving God, you have so made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our daily need through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 18. If you want to follow along, you can find that in your pew Bibles on page 287. However, the version I'm going to be reading today is a little bit different. It's not the NIV. But you'll get the gist just by following along. You'll see how some things are just a little bit different. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 18. Let's hear the word of the Lord. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valley and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine homes and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to our ancestors as it is today. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading today is from Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. It can be found on page 311 of your pew Bible. And it goes like this: when they have entered the land of the Lord, your God is giving you as inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at that time, I declare to the Lord your God, I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands, set it down on the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord, my father was a wandering Armenian, and he went down into Egypt from with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers. The Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. And so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, and a great terror, and with miraculous signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for all the gifts we enjoy that have come from you. We ask that you would help us to appreciate them, especially appreciate your word to us today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if you can't tell it, last week I was sick as a dog. And I was, I mean, B-A-D, bad. Right, Mary? Mary knows. And, you know, when you get sick, you start going through these thought processes in your head. We go, oh man, I just long for the day that I can swallow and it doesn't hurt. I long for the day that this congestion is not just clogging up my entire face. And I will be so thankful, God. I will thank you. I'll get on my knees and thank you. I will be so thankful. You go through this whole thing where, like, you're feeling bad. You just can't wait for the day in which you're feeling better. And you realize how much of your life you take for granted. You walk through this life each and every day and you think, oh, I should be happy that my nose is not stuffed up. I should be happy that I could swallow and it doesn't hurt. But until you're sick, you don't think about those things. And in sickness, you also learn about dependence you have on those around you. When you're sick, you can't take care of yourself. Polly was just telling me about that earlier. You have to depend on other people to bring you food, take care of your day-to-day chores, while you're just feeling miserable. So when you're at your worst, you make this promise to yourself, I will never, and I mean never, take my life for granted ever again. What happens? You get better and you immediately forget all of that. You get better and life takes over. All of a sudden, you find yourself in the same patterns you were in before you got sick. That's what happens. Now, a change of perspective is helpful, right? But if you're going to try to hold on to that deep thankfulness, that deep gratitude that you felt when you were sick, right? If you're going to hold on to it, you have to build it into your life. It has to become a ritual. It has to be a part of your routine that you can't forget or move on to quickly. And this is what Deuteronomy 6 and 8 and Deuteronomy 26 is all about, building gratitude into the nation of Israel. You see, God set these people up. They said, we're gonna set you up in this beautiful place. You're going to get into the land filled with milk and honey. And what are you going to forget about? You're going to forget about your father Abraham and what he had to struggle with. You're going to forget that you wandered through the desert for 40 years. Because, oh boy, things are nice. And all of a sudden, that deep gratitude, that thankfulness that you're supposed to have is gone. So God says, nope, that's not going to happen to you. That's not going to happen to my people, because I'm going to make it so that everything you do is built around gratitude, thankfulness. So guess what? When you get into that land and you farm it and it produces, I need you to take those first fruits to a priest. I need you to give them that basket, and I need you then to go through your whole history. Go through a whole history of what Israel went through and remember what God has done for you. You cannot forget because this is built in. Imagine that, all of us, right? First of the month, we get our check. You got to come to me with a basket full of cash, and then you need to tell me all the stuff that God has done for you. And be thankful. That
That's what this was like for these people. Building it into your life. First of the month. Come on, bring it in.
God was trying to stitch gratitude into the lives of God's people so that it was always with them. So how do we, like the Israelites, stitch thankfulness into our daily lives? What rituals should we take on in order to shift our perspectives? I found this story this last week about a lawyer named John Kralik. He wrote a book in 2009 about his experience with gratitude. His life in 2008 had hit rock bottom. He's a lawyer. His firm was failing. He was going through a divorce. He was living in a tiny apartment and sleeping on a plastic mattress. And he thought, this is it. This is the bottom of the barrel of my life. Here it is. I've hit rock bottom. My life has nothing to be excited about. And then he had an experience where one of his daughters came to him during the new year, shared some things that were happening. He thought, oh no, this isn't the bottom of the barrel. In fact, I actually have some blessings out there that I didn't realize that I had taken for granted. And so he said, I'm going to make sure that this thankfulness stays with me. And I need to continue to foster, I need to continue to build on it. So he decided that the new year, he was going to write a thank you card every day to somebody in his life. 365 handwritten thank you notes. And through this process, he had this new awareness about his life. And what he realized was that his life was already filled with many good things that he had forgotten or taken for granted. And through all the messiness of life, he lost track of the gifts he already had. And this simple act of writing a thank you card every day totally reoriented John's perspective, moving him from thinking that his life was over to realizing that he actually enjoyed an abundance of gifts from God. So how are you building into your life rituals of gratitude? Because I'm here to tell you, if you don't build this gratitude into your life, it is harder and harder to get back into it. As Christians, our first and never-ending thank you should be to God. God, who is the source of all, the air in our lungs, the reason we get up in the morning. God deserves our deep gratitude. Now, I know many of you start the day with devotions. Arlene and I have talked about that quite a bit, about starting the day right and having that immediate shift in perspective so that you are in the right mode to approach the day. My grandmother had this framed quote from Meister Eckhart right in front of her bed. She would wake up and this would be the first thing that she would see. And this quote, you've probably all heard it before. It's a well-known quote. If the only prayer you say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. It will be enough. And I have to imagine that seeing that every morning snapped her into the proper mindset to face the day, recognizing her dependence upon God and the abundance of God's gifts that she enjoyed. Now, perhaps you need that daily reminder as well, first thing in the morning. For others, it's a long walk, morning jog, yoga, reading the Bible every day, saying thank you more often to the people that surround you. The point is, do something. Do something to foster gratitude into your life. Something that points you into the direction of God each and every day. Something that forces you to slow down, take stock, and say those words, thank you. If this gratitude towards God is truly stitched into our lives, it'll change how we live. The good gifts we already have from God will overwhelm any problem that we face. And the frustration, the rage we experience cannot withstand an overwhelming sense of gratefulness for our very lives. So yesterday, we got back from a trip to Detroit. We went to Legoland. Discovery Center. And I was sick as a dog. I didn't pack at all. And we had to get, when Ann's parents showed up Friday morning to get us ready, because Ann was already there, I had an hour and a half to pack everything for the boys and for me and for the car ride, and I thought it was going to kill me. I mean, I literally was like throwing stuff, running like a mad person. All sorts of craziness happened on our way up there. And we got there, and we got to see some things on our way back. And we'll tell you, we drove through the worst rain, all that you could have, hard rain the entire way back. And I, when I got home yesterday, I was ready to just say, this was officially a disaster trip. Officially over. I mean, this was a disaster. But as I have been rethinking about this trip, Henry got to go to Legoland, which he had been dreaming about a third of his life, you know. And he loved it. And I think it's going to be, that's great. He'll still remember it, at least tomorrow. We got to spend some really good time with Ann's aunt and uncle who live up there. And we spent all of Friday night just hanging out, eating pizza, talking about life and what's going on. And that was amazing. And when I think about this trip, I don't want to think about it as a disaster. I could certainly make that decision. But I'm thankful for those opportunities that God has given me, a family, and the opportunity that I can afford to pay to get Henry into Legoland and have a blast. And that's life, people. That's life. Because every one of us in here could look at our life and go, you know what? It's an unmitigated disaster. Things aren't going right. Things aren't going the way I want them to go. Or we could take another look and say, you know what? Actually, this was incredible. This was a blessing. This helped me. You can choose to look at life through that way. So I ask you today to start building that gratitude into your life. And the more you build it, the more you will be able to see life from that perspective and enjoy God's incredible gifts each and every day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.